Our text tonight is Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. After a service in this church several years ago, in which the speaker brought an inspirational message on baptism, I was standing at the door shaking hands. We had some guests, some visitors, who are not Baptists, but who've been my friends for many years. And on the way out, the lady angrily shook my hand and said to me, You'll never make a Baptist out of me. Well, I assure you and I assure her that that is not my intention. I have no desire to make a Baptist out of anybody. Being baptized scripturally does not make you a Baptist. A person can be baptized scripturally and be a Catholic. A person can be baptized scripturally and be a Congregationalist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian, whatever he wants to. In fact, I'm going to use tonight in my message a Bible which was translated by the Episcopalians. Now, if you'll take your King James Bible and open it to the dedication in the front of the Bible, this Bible was translated, the King James Version. You've got it here up in the front of your Bible. It says, To the Most High and Mighty Prince James, by the grace of God. King James commanded this scripture to be translated out of the original language into the English tongue. King James was the head of the Episcopalian, or Church of England. And all the men who translated this Bible in the year of about 1611 or 1616 or 20 were men who did not practice immersion. They were men who practiced the sprinkling of infants, who immersed nobody, the men who translated this Bible. You'll see that in the latter part of paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. You have the dedication here. It starts off, For when your highness, and these are the men writing to the king, King James, dedicating this translation, this work to him, they said, When your highness had once out of deep judgment apprehended how convenient it was that out of the original sacred tongues, the Hebrew and the Greek, together with comparing of the labors, both in our own and other foreign languages, of many worthy men who went before us, there should be one more exact translation of the Holy Scriptures into the English tongue. Your Majesty did never desist to urge and to excite those to whom it was commended that the work might be hastened and that the business might be expedited in so decent a manner as a matter of such importance might justly require. Now watch this next paragraph. And now at last, by the mercy of God and the continuance of our labors, it being brought unto such a conclusion, they finished the work, as that we have great hopes that the Church of England shall reap good fruit, thereby we hold it our duty to offer it to your Majesty, not only as to our King and Sovereign, but as to the principal mover and author of the work, humbly craving of your most sacred majesty that since things of this quality have ever been subject to the censures of the ill-meaning and discontented persons, it may receive approbation and patronage from so learned and judicious a prince as your highness is, etc., etc. We pray that through this translation the Church of England might reap good fruit thereby. The men who translated this King James Bible did not believe in immersion. All right, I want to watch how they had to translate it fairly from the Hebrew and the Greek into the English tongue. And we're taking a Bible translated by members of the Church of England and preaching believers' baptism by immersion. Now, I want to show it to you. Now, the longer I study the Word of God and preach the gospel, the more impressed I am with the importance, the significance, and the beauty of believers' baptism. Turn with me to Matthew 3. Now, I want you to use your Bibles tonight, and I want you to use them on every scripture, if you will. I'll try to give you time to find each one. Matthew 3. Now, first of all, our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by immersion. Now, here are these Church of England professors and pastors and preachers translating from the original tongue. They were scholars, and therefore they did it fairly. I give them credit for that. They translated it fairly. And in Matthew 3, verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him." Now, Christ was 30 years old when this took place. 30 years of age. "John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, if there's no other reason for believers' baptism than this one example, it's sufficient for every believer to be baptized. Our Lord, when he was 30 years of age, came to the River Jordan where John was baptizing. And he requested John to baptize him, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer. And he has left us the example that we should follow his steps. But not only did our Lord submit to believers' baptism, to the baptism of John by immersion, but he commanded us to be baptized. Now turn to Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now this is after his resurrection. Our Lord was about to ascend to the Father, and he left these instructions for his disciples. These are the marching orders given to the church, and we're not at liberty to change them. These are our marching orders. Christ in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16, as follows. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority, power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Now, in your Bible, you'll probably have a little figure with the word teach. "Go ye therefore and teach." That means make disciples. Go ye and make disciples of all nations. What do you do first? You make disciples. What do you do second? You baptize them. What do you do third? Verse 20, you teach them. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." What are the marching orders for the New Testament church? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And the gospel, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will make disciples. And what do you do with disciples? You baptize them. And then you teach them. You don't go baptize them and then preach to them. Baptize them and then make disciples. You make disciples and then you baptize them, then you teach them. Turn to Mark 16, the text which I read a moment ago. I read it twice already tonight. Mark 16, verse 15. Christ our Lord said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." What do? You go preach the gospel. To whom do you preach? every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, our Lord left us an example that we should follow him in believers' baptism. That ought to be enough. Then our Lord very plainly commands his disciples to baptize believers. And that should be enough. But in the Bible, we have examples of the apostles baptizing believers. Now turn to Acts 2. We're going to go to several verses here now. Acts 2, verse 41. The apostles baptized everybody who believed their message. Everybody who believed their message followed the Lord in baptism. Acts 2, verse 41. Listen. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Everybody who believed the word did what? They were baptized. This is in Jerusalem. Now turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts the 8th chapter, verse 4. Listen to this. Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now look at verse 12. And when they believed, Philip preaching the things, what did he preach? He preached Christ. And when they believed the things that Philip preached concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, what did they do? What did it say there? They were baptized. Philip went down to Samaria and preached. And when they believed what Philip preached, what Philip preached? He preached Christ. That's what it says in verse 5. He preached Christ. And when they believed Philip's message, they were baptized. Now, Acts 8, verse 36. Let's look at this. Philip went on down and preached to an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot. Verse 35. Then Philip, Acts 8, 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water. Now, if he wanted to sprinkle him, I'm sure the eunuch had a canteen of water in his chariot. A man wouldn't travel all the way from Jerusalem to Ethiopia without carrying a bucket of water along. But the eunuch knew that baptism was not by sprinkling, it was by immersion, and so he waited till they came to a lake. And he said, here is water. Now, what doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip, you have no reason not to baptize me, because here is a place where I can be baptized. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. Now remember, I'm reading a Bible translated by people who sprinkle. At least they're fair. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. Acts chapter 10. Turn over here. Here's the household of Cornelius. Acts 10, verse 47. And it says in Acts 10, 47, Peter went down there and preached to the people at Cornelius' house, his servants, his family. He said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then Acts 16:33. Turn to Acts 16:33. And here the Apostle Paul preached to the Philippian jailer, to Lydia, to the woman who was possessed of demons. Acts 16:33. You know, the man in jail said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 31, and thou shalt be saved. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. They preached the gospel to him and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. Look back at Acts 16, verse 14. Then a woman, certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, city of Thyatira, worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, What'd she do the first thing? She was baptized. Now, if we have no other argument from the Scripture than the example and practice of these early disciples, wouldn't this be enough? We follow their leadership in Sunday worship. Here we are on Sunday morning, and every church in this town but one meets on Sunday morning. By what authority? By the authority of these apostles. By the example of these apostles, the early church met on Sunday. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in stores. God's prospered them. On the first day of the week, Paul said, when we met to break bread, I preached to them. We follow their example in the Lord's table. Why do we take bread and wine? These apostles taught it. Paul said, what I received of the Lord, I delivered to you. In governing the church, how do we govern a church? A pastor, deacons, elders. Why? The apostles taught it. By example and by teaching. Our moral practice, the apostle. Why not baptism? What is there about believers' baptism that men reject? What is it that's offensive about baptism? We take all these other things the apostles taught, and then we ditch baptism. And there is not one single example in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a Bible translated by the Church of England, professors and pastors. There's not one text, not one scripture, not one verse, not one example, not one illustration of a single person baptizing an infant. Not a one sprinkling an infant. There are plenty of examples of them baptizing believers. And I'll show you something else from this scripture. Only believers were baptized. You say, why do you object to sprinkling infants? The biggest objection is there. They're not believers. Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Christ requires faith before baptism. The Bible does not talk about adult baptism. I hear people talk about adult baptism. Never mentions adult baptism. It mentions believers' baptism. I don't care if a believer is 5 years old, if he's 50 years old, if he's 8 years old or 80 years old, he's a believer. But an infant is not and cannot be a believer. And Christ said, you go make disciples and then you baptize them. You go preach the gospel and you baptize them. And we can go throughout the Bible. Look at Acts chapter 8 again. What was it that Philip asked this eunuch when the eunuch asked for baptism? What was the one thing he asked him? The eunuch, in verse 36, they came on their way and they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, why can't I be baptized? What does keep me or hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You couldn't get one of these disciples to baptize an unbeliever. You couldn't pay him to baptize one. No way. You couldn't bribe him to baptize one. Philip said, I refuse to baptize you till you tell me one thing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip said, let's have a baptismal service. Turn to Acts 19. Now, I want you to look at this very carefully here. I want you to look very carefully here. If you've left me, come back for a few moments, and then you can leave again. Acts 19, 1 through 5. Now, listen to this. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We don't know anything about that. And he said unto them, under what then were you baptized? They had been immersed. They had been baptized. And they said, unto John's baptism. And Paul said, well, now, they didn't say John baptized them. They said they'd been baptized unto John's baptism. I don't know who baptized them. I don't know who put them beneath the water. But they had gone through a ceremony of baptism, immersion. They had been immersed. But they were not believers. Now watch the next verse. Then Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people who were baptized of him that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Paul came down here and found some people who were religious, who were going through ceremonies and so forth of religion, and they had been baptized. He said, well, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, we don't know anything about those things. He said, well, unto what were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. Well, Paul said, you must not understand John's baptism. John baptized people who confessed their sins and believed on Christ. John baptized people who said they believed on Christ, who should come, the Messiah, who should put away sin. Now watch the next verse. When they heard this, when they heard the message of Christ, when they heard what baptism really signified, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If you, as a child or as an adult, if you've gone through the ceremony of baptism back years ago, and you went through a form and a ceremony of baptism but didn't know the gospel, you weren't baptized. You've got to be a believer to be scripturally baptized. If you went through a form, for example, say some preacher came along, baptized you, and you did it just so you could go to heaven when you die, or just so you could miss hell, or just so you could be a member of a church, and then later on you heard the gospel or read the Word of God and found out that salvation's in Christ and through Christ and by Christ and because of what He did on the cross for us. Well, it's time you were confessing the Lord in baptism. Because these people were not saved, but when they came to hear the gospel, then they followed the Lord in baptism. And that destroys this idea that it's unimportant. Paul could have said, well, you folks already gone through a ceremony, that'll be sufficient. Paul could have said, well, you folks back yonder, you didn't know anything, and you were baptized unto John's baptism, not unto Christ, not as a picture of His death, burial, and resurrection, not as a confession of your faith in Him. You didn't even know Him. You didn't believe on Him. You didn't trust Him. But we'll count that. No, He didn't. He preached the gospel to them, and when they heard the gospel and believed it, they were baptized. Well, we could go on through the scriptures. Only believers are baptized. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Now watch this. Acts 8, verse 12. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There is a denomination which teaches that the man is baptized for the woman. She finds her way into the kingdom of God through her husband. She's saved because she's married to a saved man. This scripture here says everybody who believed, male and female, followed the Lord in baptism. And then in Acts 18, verse 8, and of course I read about the jailer, I read about Lydia, I read about the eunuch, and now in Acts 18, verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and then they were baptized. What I'm teaching is this. Baptism is for believers, and it's for no one else. And the one question that I would put to anyone requesting baptism is this: do you believe? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Now turn to Romans 6. Now here's another very important scripture, Romans chapter 6. The sixth chapter of Romans. Now then, the mode of baptism. I hear people arguing about the unimportance of the mode of baptism. It doesn't matter how much water. It does. It does matter. I'm going to show you this from God's Word. The mode of baptism, to be scriptural, must be the immersion or burial of the whole body beneath the water. Now, Romans 6, look at it. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. What are we saying? The whole point of this scripture is this, that the waters of baptism are a figurative grave. They are a grave. Baptism is a burial. The baptized one is dead with Christ. He is buried in the likeness of Christ's death, and he is raised from the water in the likeness of Christ's resurrection. In immersion, this picture is complete. In sprinkling a few drops of water in the face, there's no resemblance, not the faintest resemblance of a death, of a burial, or a resurrection. When a man is baptized, he is what? He is confessing his sins. He is confessing that the way of forgiveness is by Christ. When a man is baptized, he is confessing, secondly, that he is a disciple of Christ. Baptism does not mean that I am a Baptist. It means that I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man is baptized, thirdly, he is saying this, that he has made a break with the old life, and he has begun a new life, the life of the resurrection, a resurrected life. Our Lord's burial broke or divided his earthly life into two parts. He was different on this side of the grave. Over here, physical weakness. Over here, a resurrected life. Over here, dishonor. Shame, humiliation. Over here, glory. Over here, a natural body. Over here, a spiritual body. Over here, covered with our sins. Over here, delivered from our sins. And something like this happens when a man is saved. In Christ, he dies to the world. He dies to self. He dies to sin. He dies to his own ambition. And this old man, this old life, is dead and buried, and he rises in the strength of Christ into a new and glorious life. And baptism is an outward expression of this great inward work. I am dead with Christ. I am buried with Christ. I am resurrected to walk in newness of life. As we set forth his death in the Lord's Supper, we set forth our death in baptism. That's what this scripture is teaching. Then believers should be baptized, for baptism by immersion is a profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can look through this Bible, all the way through this Bible, and you can't find anywhere an example of people confessing Christ by walking down a church aisle, by coming to the front and giving a preacher their hand. Now you check, let the Bible be our only rule of faith and practice. I'm not discouraging this. I'm not saying that it can't be done this way. I'm simply saying that the scriptural way of publicly confessing Christ was what? Baptism. It's all the way through the Word of God. Every time a believer came to a knowledge of the gospel, what did he do? He was baptized. He was baptized. The Apostle Paul, when Ananias came to him and preached the gospel to him and gave the message of God to him, he said, "Saul, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized." And Paul, that very moment, was baptized and confessed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a confession of my faith in Christ. What do I think people ought to do? I'll be perfectly honest with you. I believe preachers ought to preach the gospel as clearly as they can, in a bold and courageous manner. Preach the gospel. We ought to witness the gospel. And when a man hears it, like Lydia heard it, or the jailer, or the eunuch, or Cornelius, or Simon, or any of these other people, when a man hears it, he ought to present himself to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "The Lord has saved me. I am a believer. I want to confess my Lord. I want to publicly tell the world that Christ is my hope, Christ is my anchor, Christ is my refuge, Christ is my Redeemer. I want to follow my Lord in baptism." And when we are baptized, we profess to the world our belief in these distinct truths: that Christ Jesus, the King of Glory, came into this world in human flesh, and he lived on this earth as our representative, obeying perfectly God's holy law. That he went to the cross as our substitute, bearing our sins, and died according to the Scripture. That his dead body was taken down from the tree and placed in a tomb. And on the third day he arose again according to the Scripture, and he is living today at the right hand of God. And that's my hope. And when Christ died, I died. When he was buried, I was buried. When he arose, I arose. And I am putting the old life behind, and I am dying to the old life. I'm being buried, and I'm rising again to walk in newness of life. Well, if somebody says, "Brother Mann, do you think that baptism is essential to salvation?" No, sir. "You believe a man can be saved without being baptized?" Yes, sir. "Do you have a scriptural example?" Yes, sir. Abraham, David. You say they weren't saved by the blood of Christ. Oh, yes, they were. Not but one way of saving sinners, and that's by the cross. Well, what about in the New Testament? Was anybody saved without being baptized? The thief on the cross. Baptism is not essential to salvation. Not the water that puts away the guilt, it's the blood. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, then if baptism is not essential to salvation, why preach it? Why make an issue of it? There are many commandments of Christ which are not essential to our redemption. Giving your offering's not essential either, but I notice these preachers preach it awful lot. There are a lot of things that are not essential to my salvation. Reading the Word of God is not essential to my salvation now that I know Christ. There are a lot of laws of God that are not essential to my salvation. But you know something? True love knows no distinction between the essential and non-essential. If it's the Word of God, it's my commandment. If it's the word of my Lord, it's important. Whether it's essential to my life, whether it's essential to my redemption, whether it's essential to my going to heaven or not, if my Lord commanded it, it's essential. It's important. Because true love doesn't sit around and try to decide how much it can get away with, or how much it can leave off, or how much it can keep from doing. True love says, "Lord, what will you have me do? And whatever you'll have me do, that's what I'll do." He that believeth and is baptized. That's public confession. And I think the church ought to go back to the old days when men preached the gospel, and then they cried out there when Peter finished his sermon at Pentecost, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." That's what he said. Repent and be baptized. He was doing what his Lord told him to do. He was going to all the world making disciples and baptizing them. And then after he baptized them, he set about to teach them the ways of the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we love this word, but our chief desire is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not make an idol of the word. Let us not make an idol of doctrine. Let us not make an idol even of the Lord's table and baptism and these things which thou hast commanded us. Let us not be sidetracked on these issues. We preach Christ and Him crucified. But thou hast told us to go and make disciples and baptize them and teach them all things, to observe all things whatsoever thou hast commanded. And thou hast commanded thy people to be baptized. And we ask thee tonight to make clear these scriptures. Let us obey our Lord. Let us set forth His death, burial, and resurrection, and our own death, burial, and resurrection to walk in newness of life. And then let us move on to other things which thou wouldst have us to learn, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray and for His glory. Amen. Ronnie, you come lead us.
Let's sing number 388.